This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello, one and all, and a hearty good Remembrance Day to you, friend. It's 4 minutes past seven, and you're listening to Generation Next. You're joined tonight by Adele. Caitlin is on her way. She's just gallivanting around the cityscapes just to make sure that we have a rad show just for you, friend. You should text in at any point if you have any thoughts on tonight's show on 0427-JOY-949, or you can send me an email on onair@joy.org.au. Tonight, we will be talking with Tony Briffa regarding what it's like to be an intersex person. For anyone who isn't aware, intersex is the medical phenomena where a person is born with both male and female traits. They're not hermaphrodite, which is where they are born with the complete biology of both male and female. However, they have intersex is the term to describe the certain physical traits that lie between male and female. That's a little fact just for you. So Tony will be coming on a little bit later in the show, and we'll also be talking about and discussing sexuality. Is it a fluid spectrum, or is it a rigid state? And if you have any opinions or thoughts on that topic, you should send me a text on 0427-JOY-949 or an email on onair@joy.org.au to share your experiences, whether you find that your sexual experience has been fluid and that you've gone into, say, bisexual or even pansexual practices or behaviours, or if you are a gold star gay, as some people like to call it. But that's coming up a little bit later on. I experienced something quite odd on the weekend, and by odd, I mean, odd sums it up. One of my friend's girlfriends showed me something called dinosaur erotica. Now, for anyone at home who is like, what is that? There's all these books going around, some written paraphernalia about sexual experiences with dinosaurs, and it's really, really bizarre. And, you know, it takes all different kinds, different strokes for different folks, but it's, for me, I had a bit of time wrapping my head around this this one little fetish. I don't really, for me, it verged on, bestiality. But for people, they really, they quite enjoy it. And trying to find more information on the topic just provided a lot of laughs today at the Joy Studios, I must say. Now, not that if you are into the dino erotica, you should also send us a text and talk about that and explain what exactly it is that that fires you up. Or if you've even seen it and you've got your own little comments, 0427-JOY-949. And send the buses a coming, because I'd like to know. I'm quite curious. Now, we've got a lot of tracks coming up on the playlist as well. We've got Major Lazer and Winter Gordon and Shaggy all in one song coming up in a tick. Also, Let Live's new album and one of the tracks, Younger. Also, Tin Cup is coming up and a bit of Avicii as well later on. So this is a show that you do not want to miss, I have to say to you, friend. Now, if anyone does want to get involved, remember you can text in at any point on 0427-JOY-949. And I think I might just kick it off right now with a bit of Major Lazer. There's something about this track. It's just really sweet and sad at the same time. Sweet and sad. Yeah. If anyone was to talk about Tara Reid's career, I'm pretty sure that would be the title, Sweet and Sad. Anyway, you're on Joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Joel Creasy. You're listening to Generation Next, a show for charismatic, charming, attractive, funny young people like myself on Joy 94.9.
You're on Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight you're joined by Dill and Caitlin.
I finally arrived. I'm in the studio, Dill.
And she's looking a vision, listeners.
I'm not. I'm actually a bit pale at the moment. But Dill, I'm so excited. We have, I know you've probably mentioned on the show earlier before I arrived, but Tony Briffa is coming up at 7:30.
Yeah.
And a big thing about Tony is, I suppose, the theme of intersex comes up. And I know that you wanted to have a chat to me about, or we wanted to have a chat on the phone about it, on the show, about sexuality being a fluid concept.
Mm.
Do you believe sexuality is, or do you think it's more definitive?
Well, look, I think from my own personal experiences, and I'm sure you can agree with this as well, that sexuality, I think it's quite a fluid step. It's not so much a rigid statute. And I think for some people it could be, but I think that also goes into the spectrum.
Why do you think you say that as a gay man? It's like part of obviously a GLBTI community at Joy. Do you think that that's because you're exposed to such a broad spectrum of sexuality and that exists for you in the world that you live in? But how about, I don't know.
Well, I can only really talk about my own experiences, like with sexuality being a fluid. And my heart and my loins do go towards men.
Mm.
But then there have been times where I have had sexual encounters with women.
Right. So the temptation has been there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. And I think it's definitely a spectrum, and there's quite a fluid progression with sexuality. Like most of the time I'll be turned on by men.
Yeah.
Manly
physically
men.
The sound of their voice, the stature,
the stubble on the back of my neck. But then on the occasion,
show.
Oh, I love the 5 o'clock
you've
show.
Got one going on at the moment. And I mean, as a bi woman sitting here, you're looking very cute.
Oh, baby, baby.
Anyway.
What about yourself? How do you perceive sexuality?
Yeah, well, to be honest, my sexuality has always been kind of almost closeted. I've been bi for many years, but for me, they were always under the influence of alcohol. And that was when I was with women. But then I would date men and I would have ideas about wanting to marry a man. But recently this year, I think being a part of Joy, I've been exposed to lots of different types of sexuality. And my mind opened, and then an opportunity presented itself with a woman. And I have never had feelings for a woman. I've never looked at them in more than just sort of a sexual way under the influence. But I'm actually now in a relationship with a woman. So I went from being really juvenile about my sexuality and kind of a bit one-dimensional to extremely open now and extremely receptive to all forms of love. And I think it didn't come in the package that I expected it to, but the chemistry that I have with her and the feelings that I have when I'm with her and the sorts of conversations and the love that I feel is a very, very, it's a very, very beautiful and powerful thing. And it's a woman. So, and I've always been quite straight.
Yeah. So that it's quite fascinating when you break down, I guess, those...
any stereotypes or stigmas,
yeah,
and rules that you place on yourself or expectations that you think, oh, it's just this way, or that would never happen. That would never happen to me. That could never happen.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great. It's almost liberating to get away from those
Yeah, the rules,
those
the conventions.
Norms.
Yeah. It's, you kind of break through something where it feels, oh my God, this is sort of, I'm beyond my body here. I'm not limited by my body and my physical being. It's actually how my spirit connects with someone else, and it's sexuality and it's chemistry, and you can't define that stuff. You can't buy it. Hell, if you could buy it, we'd all be fucking, we'd all be matched up online, you know, much quicker than we are. eBay, yeah. Hello, the eBay of love. But yeah, look.
And we'd like to know what you think about this. So text in 0427 Joy 949. Do you believe that sexuality is a rigid place, or is it a fluid spectrum?
And does it happen just throughout, at one point in your life perhaps being fluid, and then it doesn't stay fluid for the rest of your life once you've found your life partner, you've made a decision, or you do decide that you want to stick to one type of sex? Because maybe some people believe that sexuality can be fluid for certain periods throughout your life. Obviously we all live a very long lifespan, and for others it's the entire way through, where it's extremely fluid from birth right through to death.
Right. And then because I know for myself, when I was younger, I think I was a lot more experimental.
Really?
Yeah,
so you've
absolutely.
Become not more conservative, but have you become more just sure of what you like, what you're attracted to?
Yeah, I think it's definitely become
maturity.
More honed, or I've become more prudish, for want of a better term.
No, do you think maybe through experiences you've discovered more what suits Dill, what kind of really turns Dill on? And that has become, that's been narrowed down.
I think
naturally that's the process.
I think that is a facet of it. Because there's definitely, like, I've just started working in a nightclub and there's
so much opportunity for almost anything.
Absolutely. And there's been some of these the girls that come in. And also some of the guys as well. Actually, a lot of the guys that come in. But there's one or two particular girls, and they've, when I see them and, you know, talking to them, and it stirs something.
Really?
And it's actually quite,
wow,
quite confusing.
Oh, my God.
Because, you
is
know,
it, is, are their outfits erotic, or is it more are they oozing sexuality when they dance?
There's some kind of charisma. You know,
really?
there's that certain spark that they have.
Do you think, though, it's in that sort of illusion of a nightclub where it's that kind of atmosphere? It's very seductive.
It is. It's playful. It's
dark. Their lights aren't on. Wait till you take them home. It's a different story.
And you have to try and get them out the next day. Speaking of, have you ever done the not so much a sexuality question, but I guess the end game of the sexual act? Have you ever had a one night stand and had
sort
of a quick getaway?
Look, I've traveled a lot. I've had plenty of one night stands. And the one thing I can say is, God, use protection. That's the only thing. Doesn't matter how much alcohol you've had, you've got to use protection or at least get tested. Yeah, look, I've had my fair share. Not to sound sort of too slutty on air, but yeah, I have.
When I was younger, I used to go out and give a fake name. That was my, not only use protection.
Would
for
you
the
put
loins.
On a fake accent as well? Would you create a whole different persona?
Sometime when I would be poorer, I would tell people I'm from another country.
Oh my God, you pull it off really well. Especially in your dark, with your beautiful dark colouring. That actually, that marries quite nicely.
Oh, thanks, baby.
That's quite convincing, Dylan.
And the best part is when you know, you get a little bit to, when people ask too many questions, you're like, I don't know what to do. Just go, sorry, I don't speak too good.
Just cut it off.
Just cut it down.
And you know what? I say there is a language of love, which is sex, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't need words for that.
Well, I have to say, and I think we're cutting into hide and seek territory with our exploring of sexuality and self, but I have to say one of my most favourable bed partners was somebody who, there was a strong language barrier.
Okay.
And
I think I was discussing this with my girlfriend the other day. We almost think that can actually intensify the sex, because take out words and you just have to express what you want with your body.
Well, do you know, I was actually, that's an awesome segue, because I was reading this amazing quote, and it was, a kiss is a lovely trick designed by nature to replace when words become superfluous. I'm butchering
basically
this quote.
Saying when words are redundant, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that they really do, and you can feel it.
And that intensity, because it's everything that you can't say, so you express it in feelings, in actions.
And I say to her sometimes, she's very expressive with the words, I love you. And I actually sometimes sort of shut down a little bit, but it's more when I want to kiss and touch, that's where my expressiveness. And you can come through with touch. I think touch is a really sensual thing, and you can express yourself in that way.
How do you feel about the overuse of I love you?
I think it depends on the context. I think no matter when you say it, I think it's got to be genuine. You know the old saying, if you haven't got anything to say, don't say anything at all. If you haven't got anything worthwhile to say. So, yeah, I think, but love is, I think, a really interesting, it's such a diverse, it has so many different meanings. It depends on the context. I think it's more the issue of when you know that you love someone. I think that's more the key thing. It's the timing and how you say it.
I am.
What do you think?
I'm totally.
Do you
actually
give it out freely? Like,
no, I am totally not. Like, over to my friends. Yeah, love you, babe. Love you. Love you. But in a relationship...
How about a friend that you've had for a couple of months? Would you say it to them?
Oh, God, no.
Right.
It takes me... Do you know what? It's actually quite weird. It takes me a while to defrost and to, I guess,
I think that's
let down
actually
some barriers.
Healthy, though. Because there's a process in getting to know someone, and then the trust builds, and you feel that you can really understand what you have with that person.
I agree, because I think if you give it all away all up front, and if you... This is just my own take on it, but if you let down all the barriers, if you let everyone in on the first interaction, then you're not leaving a lot for yourself.
Also, you can be deceiving yourself, because you can actually get disappointed or really hurt because you haven't sort of allowed the natural process of getting to know someone in the real world. You know, you've sort of prematurely kind of jumped.
And you fill in the blanks with your own interpretation for someone's actions. So when they do something that you didn't think they were going to, and it's, you get let down by your own... like your own idea of who this person is, when it's totally, that's who that person is.
And you just didn't realize that you perhaps didn't know them well enough.
Yeah.
And that was time. And that was, and time, I think it's tested through different circumstances, and it reflects, think the decisions that they make can reflect their values. We've just had a text in. It said, I think sexuality can be fluid. I was certain I was a lesbian, but now I feel that I'm attracted to men. Oh, cool.
Well, thank you so much for texting in. And if anyone else, or if you're of the opposite thought as well, if you think that sexuality is definitely a rigid place, we'd like to hear from you on 0427JOY949 or an email on air@joy.org.au to share your experiences and to also maybe even though it's hard to sum up in words, but let us know why you think that way.
Yeah, yeah. Whether it's based on experience or just opinion.
Because that's one true thing. Because for me, one of my biggest things that I have trouble, wrapping my head around, and a lot of people in our community are like this, are gold star gays or gold star lesbians. They've never been with the opposite sex. They've only been
with women.
With women or with men.
How common do you think that is, Dill?
From being here at Joy, I've actually heard that it is quite common. A lot of people are... 100% legitimately gay.
Yeah. So do you feel for women more so it's more rare that they may experiment with men or?
I think, and look, I'm probably going to open myself up to some criticism here, but I think that women are indulged with the ability to be a bit more free-forming with their sexuality.
Right. So do you think we're more inclined to be with both sexes?
Well, I think that it's society norms allow women to be a little bit more adventurous.
I think in Western society, for sure, definitely. I can't speak for Eastern, but I know in Scandinavian cultures, which I suppose is Western, sexuality is such a free thing. Men can be with men, women can be with women. I lived in Scandinavia for 6 months and I've got some Danish friends from my years in London. And it's just a cultural norm that it's okay. It's quite okay if you want to hook up with someone of the same sex, and it doesn't matter what background you come from, socioeconomic upbringing. It's just part of kind of a cultural norm. Whereas I feel like here it's sort of, and perhaps in America and perhaps in the UK as well, there are more rules around that. And there's a harsh judgment that as a consequence, if you do deviate both ways, that this sort of takes, there seems to be a process of time for people to get their head around that.
I agree. I've never lived in Scandinavia, but I totally,
I think you'd love it, Dylan.
Oh, I think I would.
I think
too.
They would love you too.
But I think that, for guys, it's like you are either gay or you're straight. A bisexual man is either described as a confused man.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Whereas or confusing to other people.
Yeah.
They may not be confused themselves, but people can't get their head around it.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that if a woman is to say that I'm a bisexual woman, that it's like, oh, okay, cool.
It's almost more forgivable in a way. People seem to think it's more understandable.
Yeah.
For some ridiculous reason, but yeah.
It's definitely shows how diverse and how
but also how backward we still are, though, in terms of gender specifics and being kind of harsher with men because of that masculine, like, stereotype of, you are one or the other, and if you're a man, then you're a man. If you're a gay man, then you've got to be a stereotypical gay man.
Yeah, that's really true. Food for thought. We'd definitely love to hear what you have to say. Text in 0427JOY949. We've got more Gen Next coming up right after this.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
27 minutes to 8, and we're joined with Tony Briffer. Now, thank you so much for coming on to the show, Tony.
Not a problem, Dylan. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Now, look, thousands of children are born intersex in Australia every year. And for people who are unsure of this term, intersex is the medical phenomena where a person is born with both biological traits or variations that lie between male and female.
Yeah, that's right. So it's people that are born, part male and part female to a varying degree.
Right. And look, Tony, for many intersex infants, doctors designate the sex gender. How do they work out which gender to designate, and what are the effects for these individuals in the long term?
Yeah. So we're talking about 1 in 1,000 births. So in Victoria per year, we're talking about 40 to 50 children. And for about a quarter of those children, doctors decide at birth whether they're male or female because they're born quite ambiguous and a decision has to be made as to whether they're going to be male or female. And how doctors decide basically is based on size. So if the phallus or the clitoris is about an inch or bigger, they decide to raise them as a male usually, and if they're smaller than that, they're raised as a girl.
Right, and so it's just as hard line as that.
So, Tony, can I just clarify, is it the size of the clitoris that they measure that on?
Yeah, that's right.
Or wow.
Alice or whatever. Yeah, so size really does matter.
When, yeah, when it comes to basically deciding what sex you're going to be for the rest of your life.
That's right. So I was a short dick person, of course. So when I was born, doctors decided that I was going to be raised as a girl. So they removed.
Is that to save you future embarrassment as a man if you've got that short issue?
Yeah, that's right. Put it up there and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's just so heteronormative as well. It always assumes that, you know, it's going to be a boy with a girl, etc. It's just pretty stuffed up, really. Like, they need to get with the times.
Absolutely. Tony, do you have invasive surgeries or procedures as an infant? What does that involve?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, for example, like I had my testes removed when I was a child. And, of course, that's a pretty big step to take for somebody, particularly without their consent. It's something that's irreversible. It wasn't medically required. There was no need to get rid of my testes.
Wow.
But, yeah, I was castrated as a child.
Does that, Tony, change the hormones in your body?
Yeah, completely. So I was ambiguous at birth, and because my testes are producing testosterone and making me virilise, so my clitoris was getting bigger.
Right.
Small phallus, whatever you want to call it, was getting bigger. They sort of panicked and decided, well, they better remove my testes so that it didn't continue to grow.
But
there are girls, there are women out there who, as children, actually had, it's obscene, they had their complete clitorises removed, like, completely.
Wow. That's something that you can't grow back. That's something that you, that's a pretty final surgery.
Absolutely. Well, most of it is. Most of it's irreversible, and the High Court is really clear about not performing surgeries on children that are irreversible and not therapeutic, without getting the approval of the family court first.
And Tony, how open were your parents with you in terms of explaining that you are intersex? When did you find out that you are intersex?
Well, I knew all along that there was something different about me. I'm also a twin, so
wow.
I have a non-identical twin sister. So I knew from an early age that, you know, I'm going to the doctors all the time and having all these medical examinations and operations, but she wasn't. And all the examinations revolved around looking at my so-called private bits. And I remember saying to my parents that, you know, it's ironic that they're called privates because there was nothing private about my private area.
Absolutely. And to be exposed to that at such a young age, that would be quite taxing.
Oh, it was abuse. It's, I could certainly consider it abuse. It wasn't required by any stretch of the imagination. They just really, I mean, you know what, ironically, I was born healthy all along. There was nothing wrong with my genitals at all. I wasn't going to die. I wasn't going to get sick. They should have just left me alone. And I would have been, you know what, I could have been a very healthy lesbian with a very big clit.
Yeah, no, and Tony, I mean, look, there would be a lot of pleasure in that, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Tony, I've got to ask
you. Probably strap-ons upstairs.
Speaking of strap-ons, I can't tell you what I've done today, but anyway.
Later.
Tony, I just wanted to ask you, where would you stand if you hadn't have had that surgery when you were young? Where would you be now? Do you think you would have opted for the route of being female, or, you know, and or perhaps both? I'm not sure.
Well, it's really funny because I'd love to know that. And my journey after finding out about what happened was all about trying to be the person that nature made me. But really, it's impossible to know what I would have been like without all that socialisation. I'm quite happy that they raised me as a girl. I never, ever had an issue about that at all. But when it came to removing things, doing things that was irreversible without my consent, that didn't need to be done, then, you know what, I have a considerable issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony, with gender diversity is something that on Joy we celebrate in the queer community, but for mainstream culture, it's not as openly recognised, unfortunately. So what was it like for you growing up with a binary gender and then achieving a non-binary gender life?
Well, it's interesting because am I binary? I kind of consider that I am binary in that I'm quite happy to identify as being part male and part female as opposed to something else. So in that respect, I'm quite happy with I mean, and I fully accept other people that aren't, but I'm very fluid between male and female and sometimes both at the same time.
Can I just say, Tony, I think a part of me is envious of that.
Yeah. Look, it's great because, you know, I could go to lesbian places, and I've been very lucky to go to men-only places as well. It's great. And
I actually think you're sexually very blessed in this lifetime. Although, unfortunately, may have been felt an outcast at certain points in your life. I actually think you're sexually quite blessed.
Yeah, I think so too. I would have been even more blessed had I not been interfered with by the medical community.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
Tony. Sorry.
I'm lucky. So I'm just going to say that I'm lucky in that the community does widely accept me. I mean, once people know what it's all about, they're pretty good. So I was raised in Altona, western suburbs of Melbourne. Went to the local girls' Catholic school, and in 2008, I was elected to the council as Tony Briffa. Very public about being male and female. No longer living as Antoinette, but as Tony. And it didn't make a difference. And I became mayor, and last year I was very convincingly re-elected with people knowing. So I think it's, as long as people are out there and people understand it, they're okay.
Tony, we're almost out of time for this segment. However, sure. I just want to ask you, because we... intersex is something, is a part of our community that we don't get to talk about. We don't have an opportunity to discuss. We don't hear a lot of voices or thoughts. Now, there may be an intersex young person listening tonight. They might be confused as to where they stand or to where they sit in society. Do you have any words for that individual that might be sitting at home listening tonight?
Yeah, meeting other intersex people is the most liberating thing you can do, and I would urge them to contact either myself or me through Organisation Intersex International or the AIS Support Group Australia, and make contact and meet other people. You still can be inside the closet; you don't have to come out. I did for a number of years just live as a lesbian without actually telling people, being out about that. But it's just so liberating meeting other people that know and experience what you experience.
And Tony, before we let you go, I was going to say I think you're an absolutely fascinating, wonderful person, and a person has texted into our show just as you've been talking, and I think it's nice to share it with you. They said, Tony Briffa's story is fascinating and inspiring, a wonderful role model, and awesome to have such an open and honest person on the show. So,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, Tony, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it weeknights on Joy 94.9. Something for everybody.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Generation Next. Love it.
12 minutes to 8. You're on Generation Next. You're joined tonight by Dylan Caitlin. We have got some texts in.
We sure do, Dylan. We've got a text in saying, everyone is born and built differently. Life experiences may influence options of expressions of sexuality, but as gender and sexuality evolve into what the individuals are comfortable with at the time, the important thing is to get it out there, see the world, and discover what feels good as consenting adults. Extremely articulate text, Rena.
Thank you so much for that.
Fabulous.
We also had a message in just regarding our fluidity of sexuality.
A discussion about that, yeah.
I'm straight, but listen to Joy all the time. Love it. Thank you. I think my sexuality is fluid, and I'd suggest most people have a fluid sexuality, but are conditioned from a very young age to be unable to recognise fluidity. Love, Shay. Thanks, Shay.
And Shay, if that's you who used to read the news here at Joy, babe, I think you're absolutely stunning. And if you're in Sydney, I hope life's fabulous. And if it's not, well, I'm sure it's another gorgeous Shay.
Yeah, the only Shays that I know are Dead Set Babes, so must have sounded the name.
Thanks, I just dug myself in a grave. You got me out, thanks.
We also got a message in, and look, pardon the pronunciation here, but please read Tsiolkos' new book about sexual fluidity. Within the main character's story, a great analysis of complex gay character in a local context.
Very
cheers.
Cool. Always like a good book recommendation.
I do like a good read. Vic's always good for a good read.
I know, Victoria's in Adelaide, isn't she?
Yeah, that's right. Pardon. No, well, actually, no,
she's always holidaying. She's in the Greek islands or she's like interstate. Like, where is she? She's not even working at the moment.
I mean, oh, no, she's there on a work trip.
Oh, she did she get a job? Is she gone from the life of the unemployed to the rich and the fabulous traveling with her new job?
Who knows? It might be a fake text to tell her boss. Hey, it's time for gay school.
Ooh.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's Play School.
Just before we get into the headlining articles, we have got some further messages. One from Stephen Barber saying, loving the show, I think sexuality becomes fluid depending on circumstances. This is evident in environments such as prisons, where people may not identify as gay or lesbian, but through pure physical desire, engage in same-sex acts.
Yeah.
As a side note, Tony Briffer is an incredible person with a wonderful soul.
Mm.
Also have a message again saying, Tony Briffer interview was outstanding. Love it. Such an inspiring story from Max and Wayne. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. And hi, Stephen. Hello from Joy. Yeah, all great messages. Thank you.
Beautiful stories. Our first article tonight, Gaga is going into space. She's going to be the first performer ever to sing live in outer space. She's signed on for the Zero-G Colony Tech Festival in New Mexico, where she's going to board a Virgin Galactic spaceship, then fly into the space for the gig.
She'll do anything to be different, this woman. And, you know, at any cost as well. She's taking her whole entourage of wardrobe, hair and makeup artists for the ride. She also said she'll be taking out a very large life insurance policy just in case things don't work out. Baby, gonna need it ASAP.
I just want to know what will happen to those wigs in zero gravity.
Wear wigs or not?
Oh, yeah, she definitely wears a lot of wigs.
Really?
Well,
she's always changing, though. Like, I think that nothing seems permanent with her. But I like the fact that she hasn't opted for surgery. She may change what clothing or aesthetics that she has on her body, but she hasn't gone to get the Botox, the nose jobs, the breast jobs. That's what I like about her.
I like how the iconic pop. I was watching her being interviewed last night on the Graham Norton show, and it was quite a nice sight, because normally, you know, you don't really get to see an artist get to express themselves so vocally. Vocally in that light, and
she's actually quite shy. The interviews that I've seen, she's quite softly spoken.
Yeah,
highly intelligent, so strange and amazing. But
I love the one part of the interview where she was saying that I speak in riddles and it makes sense in my head. And it was cute.
I would agree with that. After I saw her interview with I think it's Barbara Walters. Yeah, she came out as bisexual. So, Dil, next article, darling. Jewish.
That's right. The Jewish Council says it's okay to be gay. So thank you to the Jewish Community Council of Victoria, who've made a significant step towards equality by publicly acknowledging for the first time that it's okay to be gay. This is following the Jewish Community Council's release of a statement to support the No to Homophobia campaign. A co-convener of the LGBTI Jewish organisation, Aleph Melbourne, Michael Barnett, criticised the council's failure to publicly affirm gay people in society.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. Like, we don't sort of get that kind of overt support from Christian churches or communities, but for Jewish people to be really making a stand and really kind of expressing that, I think, even in writing and then you've got to take your hat off.
Well, just touching on the Christian community, highlighting the Christian Democratic Party, they've targeted Alex Greenwich. As we know, Alex Greenwich, the MP in Sydney, has put forward a bill to remove discrimination for LGBTI students in private schools and public schools.
Wow.
So religious schools.
Across the board. So regardless of money, regardless of your socioeconomic background,
and
equality is happening in schools.
Yeah. Well, Reverend Fred Nile launched an attack on Twitter with a meme saying, having a photo of Alex Greenwich at the front of a school with a sign saying, keep Alex out of our classrooms, or keep Greenwich out of our classrooms. And he was in a less than flattering pose at the front. It almost looked like, you know, he was lurking outside. And Greenwich responded to this as saying that it's about making sure that... what this bill simply aims to do is protect vulnerable kids in these schools. Nothing more, nothing less.
Well, that should be the objective. It's just about basic human rights and treating one another as we all deserve to be treated with love and respect.
Mind you, Reverend Nile is also the same guy who prays every year that the floods will, that it's going to rain and flood out the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras.
Does he say that? Is that like some sort of...
Yeah,
like,
him and his church, his pastor, they all, they sit
Is
around.
That actually a genuine claim? Like, yeah. He actually, what?
They pray, they pray for the rain.
Well, you know what? We do live in Australia and it can be like a desert in summer. So keep praying for the rain, but the gays aren't going anywhere.
No,
so.
That's right. Our sexual community and our gender diverse community is here to stay.
And they're going
to
continue like having one of the best parties of the year in Sydney. I think the Mardi Gras is. It's close to like the New Year's Eve on the Harbour Bridge.
Oh, absolutely. It's something that, you know, we're not going anywhere. We have been in the closet. We've been on the underdog for way too long. I'm pretty sure you're going to have to get used to us for now. Hey, look, we're out of time, but it's been another phenomenal show.
And Tony Briffa, like, we were so privileged to have him on the show. And if he's listening, Tony, again, thanks for your time. We should follow that up as well. Put that up on the Facebook page, Dil, about other GLBTI youth that, you know, identify with being intersex.
Absolutely. We'll definitely put that out there.
Follow that out.
We'll have the podcast out tomorrow. We'll talk to you next week.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9. On air and online at joy.org.au.
Generation Next. Love it.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.